Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light, and, you know, given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it's not just, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Four Thumbs Up. Man, it's been so long since we've done this, I forgot how to do the intro. That's weird. My name is Robin Koppel. Thank you so much for listening. I'm joined, as always, by my best bud, Bobby Bethke. What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
All right, so we are back from a long hiatus. I know you missed us so much, everybody. but we had to come back. We couldn't stay away because last night was a monumental night in moviedom, and if you could tell by the last like two episodes we put out, this is like, it's a trilogy of Oscar centric content.
Yeah,
here. But it's finally over.
We're free,
and like, I'm sure you can like you'll be able to track like hearing us be like different levels of frustrated and annoyed and just like tired of the whole award season thing. Like, start at the Golden Globes rant and just go through three Oscar episodes. and so this is nice. Last night I felt a lot of a feeling of release, actually. Like, peace.
You sound like everybody who, like, all athletes when they win their like first big like competition or award, they're always like, what did you feel? It's like, I felt immense relief.
the long
just us
trial.
Watching the Oscars.
Yeah, just like I didn't even watch it. Like, I was doing other things. It was in the background a lot, you know, just like
oh my god, yeah, I was doing work while I was on.
Yeah, which one thing, it was kind of not boring, certainly not boring, but it was like it was so long. It was extremely long. That's what everyone's saying. Like, it's funny how every year it's 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
But this year it was 4 hours.
Yeah, dude.
And yeah, it was late. You know, I had work in the morning.
Yeah, dude. I had stuff to do.
Yeah. And
like, Jimmy, help me out, bro.
Jimmy did kill it though. Jimmy is my man.
He did a great job.
Forever. Yeah. I think he might have been overshadowed by the moment last year, but I remember very clearly him killing it last year. And this year you could say that it was a very specifically difficult set of circumstances to, you know.
Yeah, right.
And I feel like he really pulled it off well, you know, just like, he's the kind of like even keeled and like, I don't know, his approach to it just was very natural and smooth and like, but also not shying away from
stuff. Well,
and
he's built up that reputation on his show of just, like, pure sincerity. So
right,
you knew that he wasn't going to do this, like, whatever he added in his monologue about, like, the Time's Up movement wasn't going to be just because he had to address it. It was because he actually wanted to talk about it. So
yeah, it's weird because it's so funny. I've been watching him because I'm, like, I like those late-night shows a lot. I've watched him for years, but only recently did he start this whole caring about politics thing. I mean, sure, he always did, but like, you know,
I wonder why what could have prompted him.
But yeah, like it felt like the right obviously a woman hosting would have been cool too, especially for this year, but he felt like the right guy to do the job, certainly, and he pulled it off well. I think I'm biased because I'm a huge fan, but
yeah, I'm a big fan too.
I wonder, okay, so the main thing I was feeling was like, this all throughout the season I've been looking for a moment to direct my anger at, kind of, or like my frustrations over the years that I've talked about ad nauseum on the show, of like, they always pick the wrong movies, man, and I think they should be doing a better job, you know. But when The Shape of Water was announced as the winner of Best Picture, anyone who's talked to me in the past however long could picture me like the roof blowing off my house or whatever. Like, you know, just like, but it was more just like a, of course, and okay, and it's whatever, you know.
I feel like a lot of that just comes from the fact that there's so many award shows before the Oscars.
Yeah. Well,
there was one the night before, Independent Spirit Awards. Like,
which is my favorite one. And Nick Kroll and John Mulaney hosting that.
Oh, they crushed it.
As they did, yeah, the best in the world. But yeah, isn't it crazy? But even more so is all these articles that we read. Breakdowns and predictions of it's like a science now. You can predict, based on SAG and Producers Guild and 2% of the directors or whatever, And I always read those articles and I'm like, I don't know. I still hold a doubt just to try to maintain some sense of surprise in my head, It's like when an Apple product comes out and you read the leaks beforehand and you ruin it for yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they were predicting Shape of Water the whole time. And I was like, there's no way. But now, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's probably the biggest L that we both took last night, but.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. It was a weird show. I mean, well, the main thing I'm kind of thinking is what was notable about them last year was this year specifically, there was a wide swath of extremely worthwhile, deserving movies that were maybe a couple of them were left field or, there's a variety of them that all deserved recognition in a certain way.
Right.
And this sounds stupid because it's that's the point of an award show, but picking one winner felt like it was not enough. It's this should be a celebration of all, and singling them down to the ones that actually do win, Shape of Water. The thought I had was the Oscars are not equipped to rightfully celebrate, these movies that in the way that they deserve to be celebrated, nominating Lady Bird a bunch of times and not having it win. I mean,
but on the flip side, there were a lot of movies that won multiple, right? Because there was Coco, Blade Runner, I'm trying to think of ones that won multiple. Coco, Blade Runner, Three Billboards, Shape of Water, and Dunkirk.
It's weird, yeah.
And then Phantom Thread picked up one. Darkest Hour picked up two, I think.
It did, yeah. Makeup and something else. Gary Oldman.
Actor. Something else. To me, it wasn't as interesting, just because you're right that all the awards were kind of settled beforehand. I think this year was largely an anomaly for that, just as far as the number of awards that are kind of decided by the time we get to the Oscars. But because I was like you were, I was kind of looking for a reason to be upset at them.
Yeah.
And they touched on enough movies that I liked that my obvious bias was appeased enough.
Right.
But right. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I mean, they always screw up a few nominations, and they always will screw up a couple of awards, I guess. But this time it was a little bit different because the awards, they weren't my personal choice on almost any of them, but then I wasn't upset at really any of the winners.
Yeah, that's the thing that was hard for me because I wanted a villain, And Shape of Water has been my villain, but they kept showing sweet little Sally Hawkins looking so kind and, full hearted and stuff.
Anytime they show Del Toro with his eyes, just kind of looking around in wide eyed amazement at everything around him, I love him.
Yeah, it's great. At the end of the night, I went in with whatever Shape of Water annoyance, but by the end of it, I was like, okay, I mean, I'm really okay with it now, I think. More okay than I was. Just because I love Richard Jenkins, I love Sally, I'm happy for Guillermo, It's just weird because the point I've been trying to think about is, this year we had these, knockout movies that everyone loved universally. like a few of them, you know.
You're talking about Get Out and Lady Bird, among others.
Among others. And just
I feel like those are the two least controversial.
Right. But they also feel, well, at least Get Out feels left field in a traditional sense or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to be so, I don't know, kind of like universally adored or whatever, seeing them not clean up is like kind of disorienting. Like this year is not Shape of Water's year, you know. No one thinks it is, you know.
It was no one's year.
I guess that's it, yeah. And it was weird because going in, I legitimately thought, or I kept telling myself that a lot of categories were toss-ups. Like, I was not sure about Best Actor. I know I probably should have been if I... Yeah, because I was just... I was like, of course, Gary Oldman, the career, and it's great and everything, but it's PTA and this... Sorry, not PTA, DDL. Dance Dance Revolution. And Timothy coming out of Subspace to become this massive, you know, like, those were too huge of narratives for me to really think that it was just Gary Oldman in a fat suit. You know, I mean, but the other thing is, I'm so happy for him too. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
And well deserved. You know, these are like, it's funny, Guillermo was always, you know, making nerdy monster movies in the corner, and Gary Oldman was always under 10 pounds of makeup, and like, they're the movies that people on Reddit really liked, or like, you know, the real fans know that those are the good ones, you know. But this year they were winning Oscars.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Well, except for a couple, you know, Columbus wasn't in the mix. Good time.
Oh no, like, I mean, yeah, we could, you know, fill an entire award show with the movies that didn't get nominated.
Mm-hmm. I will say that the acting awards, Sam Rockwell was probably the most subtle performance that won.
Really?
Because the other three were just all so in your face.
Oh, the winners. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That I was kind of bummed by that because none of them were my picks for the awards.
Yeah. When they showed Gary Oldman and it was like, like, you know, yeah. I hadn't seen
Stop interrupting me while I'm interrupting you.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was a quiet war movie.
Dude, but it is, because that movie is so boring.
Right. And then it was I thought at a certain point, I thought the whole cliche of the scene they choose to show when they try to show off what good acting is the scene where they cry and yell. I thought everyone was self-aware about that to the point where they didn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But then they chose the most out there annoying scenes for basically everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Except Margot Robbie, because her scene was actually like probably the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, she was my pick of the nominees for Best Actress.
Really? Over Saoirse?
Yeah, by a little bit.
Yeah.
Frances would actually probably be last, but...
Really?
Yeah. Actually, no. Meryl Streep probably... Well, I don't know.
I respect the heck out of Meryl Streep, but I was not about to give her that Oscar, personally.
No. Yeah. No chance.
But, I'm super happy for Allison Janney.
Oh, who, yeah. No, yeah. I love her, yeah.
She's like one step closer to an EGOT or whatever. Like, 8-time Emmy winner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know who was the big loser?
Who?
Phantom Thread, bro.
Yeah, it was.
Let me tell you.
Bobby was texting me all night about all the various awards Phantom Thread should have won.
Phantom Thread should have won that.
I mean, you have a point. So, like, let's run through them. Director, probably.
Picture, for sure. Of the nominees, absolutely. Only other considerations would be Lady Bird and Get Out.
Yeah.
Phantom Thread, best picture. Actor, of course you can make the conversation. I think that Timothy and Daniel Day-Lewis were probably neck and neck.
Right.
With Gary Oldman a close third. But you can make the case that Daniel Day-Lewis deserves it. I mean, the dude ate some weird mushroom thing, so that's cool.
You know, he probably, like, asked somebody to make it the real poison one.
Oh my god.
I just realized that.
Yeah, he definitely like self-medicated small amounts of poison leading up to the shooting of the scene.
I completely forgot about it. Of course he did. Yeah.
The biggest travesty, actress Vicky Krieps, not even nominated, probably would have picked her. just kidding. Supporting actress, that one's tough. Leslie Manville definitely deserved to be nominated, but I think Laurie Metcalf was probably too much.
She should have won, I think.
Laurie Metcalf?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, just because, I mean, like, Allison Janney's was just like, it was difficult to do, but it wasn't like there was a ton of, like, I feel weird penalizing a character, like a person's performance just because their character doesn't have like a lot of range, you know what I mean?
Yeah, difficulty of performance.
Yeah.
Or material, yeah.
And I think I definitely over-penalize performances for that, but I still felt that what Laurie Metcalf had to do in every single scene of Lady Bird was just so hard that,
oh yeah,
I mean, and she just knocked it out of the park at every turn.
Right, and just the whole years-long narrative of subtlety over the brash type of scene, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah,
you know, Allison Janney is a generational talent, but that role was so in her wheelhouse. Like,
yeah,
know, like she can do that in her sleep because, you know,
yeah, that's what I felt about Frances McDormand too.
Yeah,
both the actress awards I thought were just kind of like, I mean, they were good performances obviously, but
right,
not my personal pick. Moving on though, Phantom yeah. Thread. Cinematography, are you kidding me? But, not even nominated. The best cinematography of the year.
It wasn't nominated? Jeez.
No, dude. Not even nominated.
But you have to be happy for your guy.
I am so happy for Roger Deakins, yes. Yeah. Great speech, too. Great speech.
Yeah, looked very, you know.
He just looked like he just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I love, like, you see his name places and you're like, oh, that grizzled, you know, veteran yeah. of the industry.
And then you hear him talk.
He's just this dude, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
I got to talk a little bit, otherwise they're going to give me a jet ski. yeah, I mean, I mean, Blade Runner and Phantom Thread were both my favorite movie of the year, so I can't really complain too much. But Phantom Thread should have been nominated, 100%. Mm-hmm. I would pick it for cinematography. Moving on, costume design. It did win. Great choice. It's a movie about costumes. Excellent.
Could you entertain you?
No.
Definitely will not.
What were the other two?
My whole thing is deconstructing Oscar voters for being shallow idiots. Because,
oh, yeah.
because they're like, oh, it's a movie about making clothes. Of course I gotta choose it for the costume. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, whereas Blade Runner or whatever movie is like sewn by hand. And so, like, I know yeah. Phantom Thread was too, but.
Well, you know what was sewn by hand? What? Everything Daniel Day-Lewis touched in that movie.
He made his shoes. He probably made his shoes. You know, the one thing about being him in this world is he's going through
in
life.
This world.
First of all, why does he shave his head all the time? Like, he looks so different, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
as a civilian. But, like, he is a
crude.
Dude,
he doesn't need distractions when he's cobbling, bro.
Yeah, but he's accrued all these skills over the years. Like,
oh, my God, yeah.
Like, he can make shoes and dresses.
And they're all so useless.
Yeah.
And he knows how to load a gun while running.
He does?
That's the Mohicans, yeah.
He can dance? Is that what my left foot is about? I forget.
No.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what I had to. I must have made
it's
like
about dance.
Never seen a frame of it. I just heard about it. I must have made like four jumps in my head to be like, you know.
You probably just went straight to like, I'm all left feet or something.
Yeah, something like that. Is it like something sad? Like he has a disorder or something?
Yeah, it's he plays a guy with a cerebral palsy.
Oh, you're freaking kidding
me. No,
I'm so sorry, everybody. Oh gosh,
John. It's about dance. Oh my god.
Well, now it's funny and more offensive. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah. No, he works to become a like an artist, not a dancer.
Did he method act that too?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
What? And that was like early on for him. Yeah.
I know.
That was dude, like, that was like when he did not have the reputation to do that and not get weird looks.
You know? I know, dude. It's awesome.
And that's an aggressive, like, it's not like, oh, my character is a marathon runner or whatever. I'm going to go run sometimes. Like, he had to, you know, dadgum.
Yeah, dude. He painted with his left foot.
Oh, right. Right. Okay, it's coming back to me, maybe. I don't know. Dude, okay, crazy. Yeah. So sorry.
Anyway, next category. Directing. Enough said.
Okay,
moving
so
on.
Directing was the weird... This is a good way to actually go through the categories one by one. Directing was, like, the one where I was like, you got Greta and Jordan going on, and then you got freaking PTA there, too, and Nolan, who's never won before, and these are all the most deserving... Mm-hmm. pieces of art they've ever made. And then
I mean, none of them had even been nominated except PTA for There Will Be Blood. So
Nolan hadn't been nominated?
No.
Wow.
He's gotten two screenplay noms.
Like, that was the one where again, I'm happy for Guillermo, it's well deserved, it's gonna be awesome, you know. But when of all the people in that category, you get Teddy Bear going up there, you know?
Holy shit.
I mean, I love him. I love him. To, you know,
he deserved it. I didn't care about director because I thought all five deserved it.
Right, which they did.
I was gonna be happy either way.
Which is just that. I mean, I'm just gonna keep making the same point. But that's like the kind of the not the tragedy, but just like what makes it so hard, or even not even worth doing.
That we
even
have
it
like an award. Yeah, I know.
Like
what you mean,
it's so impossible because everyone was so good. Is the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, keep
I
going.
Agree. Film editing, it was very good, but Dunkirk for sure, maybe Baby Driver. Those are the two that are just obviously I thought.
Do you think people thought it was a good editing because of the timeline stuff or like the
I think that because it was pretty coherent to follow the timelines. But as far, I mean, I probably still would have stuck with Baby Driver. I do think I would have picked Dunkirk for sound mixing.
Yeah.
Sound editing, maybe. That one's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah. It's weird. Everyone should go read this article we found about, that Bobby found, about how the editor on Baby Driver had to work. He like
phenomenal,
so incredible. Like every other movie and piece of art that's ever been made, you shoot it, then you send it to the editor who sits in a dark room and works on it for a year or whatever.
Yeah,
Baby Driver, the guy had to be on set every day because the editing was that precise and like that. Yeah. Like he had to edit as the movie was happening on a mobile. Like he strapped a computer to a cart and wheeled it around. Like incredible, you know.
Yeah, Paul Maklis. Yeah,
yeah.
Dope.
Shout out. Yeah.
But I probably, I'm looking at the nominees. I think I, Tonya would have been my pick.
That's the one, they showed a clip from it, and I really did kind of get it, you know. It only drew attention to itself sometimes, and when it did, it deserved it, and then when it didn't, like, it was really, you know. So I would have been okay with that, yeah.
Yeah. Makeup and hairstyling, I mean... Come on. Original score?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
So this was a discovery we both made today. This guy, Johnny Greenwood, that we've been saying his name like we know who he is this whole time. The guitarist for Radiohead or something like that.
Yeah.
And
a soundtrack score master, I guess.
Yeah, like, and he's been making like scores for PTA this whole time, but they've been like tinged with... electric and like, you know, weird sounds floating around, blah, blah, blah. But this was like a lush orchestral, like, you know, score that had like themes that like an overture.
Well, so yeah, the There Will Be Blood score is phenomenal as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this should have been a no contest category, but
yeah,
Phantom Thread did not win.
I've read like a think piece and a half about like why this score was like specifically different and more worthwhile than like we've seen in a while, you know, like because it really was almost a character in the movie.
Yeah, and, like, which is what it should have been for The Shape of Water, but I didn't get that sense, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, Despot's going to become the new Williams, or like one of those, because he's going to work twice a year, every year for 40 years, and it's going to be great work. I really like everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's like one of the ones where, like, I don't know, throw someone some more interesting this year a bone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm happy for him. He's a sweet guy.
Yeah. I think those were the ones where I kind of... Oh, what am I saying? Writing original screenplay, not even a nomination? Ridiculous. I probably would have given it to Get Out still, but Phantom Thread, the dialogue is just so sharp.
It is, but it's... This is just what the podcast turns into. Just like, I do admire how they were able to make it a comedy. Like, it was the weirdest freaking balancing act, because I still don't even know really what the tone is and like what even the point was, but like I experienced it fully, and like, you know, I was in every moment, you know.
Yeah.
like and balancing, like, I know it's like a period piece, like 50s or whatever, but it feels accurate but modern, but you know, like you can follow it. Yeah, it was really interestingly done, but I wouldn't give
it. Yeah.
What else was nominated in that category? Do you have that there?
Yeah, Lady Bird, Big Sick, Shape of Water, and Three Billboards.
Sick, man. I mean, Big Sick. Like,
yeah.
First off, so happy for Kumail and Emily. Mm-hmm. And he became a massive star last night, I believe.
Yeah.
Because he had like three moments and he just knocked them all out of the park. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he, you know, I comedy nerds from, you know, years ago, like I was just like watching him do stand-up wearing a hoodie, you know, 4 years ago or whatever, and now it's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Three
Billboards, why the fuck is that there?
Because it has great writing. Not story writing, but dialogue writing was I have loved, it's been so interesting to see. Everyone has a take and a half about Three Billboards, dude. Everyone, like, there's the people that are like, don't defend racists or whatever, and then, like, you know, and then, but there's also people that think it's problematic, but then there's also the whole point of it is like strong woman fighting against, you know, unsolved rape murder, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm one of the people that thinks it sucks. But,
And also the whole American thing that you always talk about. The whole
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we should tell everyone this. I was so worried. I found out that the city with the third highest population of Oscar voters besides LA and New York was London. And I panicked for about 30 seconds because I was like, oh God, are these foreigners going to ruin the Oscars and allow Three Billboards to win Best Picture because they've never been to America and don't understand anything?
Yeah.
But we didn't have another Golden Globes, so it was fine.
Did it win the Thankfully, Golden Globe? Yeah. Oh, it did. Oh, because that was right when it was peaking in the yeah,
and it's the Hollywood Foreign Press.
I think it won the SAG Ensemble or something like that too.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised that Three Billboards only won the two acting categories. It was kind of a shoe-in for.
Yeah.
But that's my personal bias against the movie.
Yeah.
Not that I could make anything better, but...
No, I mean, it's just really interesting. Because, like...
Yeah.
It's been on such a ride in terms of the public perception of it, you know?
Yeah. It probably provided the most award season drama, at least.
Yeah, because there's some people that categories. Were legitimately worried and, like, taking umbrage with, you know, like...
Oh, my God, dude, I've been so pissed.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, yeah, I mean, All the other categories, I thought they did. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, my God.
Animated short film.
What? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Kobe! Kobe. Have you seen the short?
No.
It's so bad. It's so shitty.
Dude.
It's just Kobe voiceover of his god-awful-ass poem that he wrote when he retired over animated images of him as a kid and him as a Laker. And it's just... It was built in a fucking laboratory to win the short film animated Oscar. And it was garbage. Garbage.
And that sweet one from Pixar, it's the only one I saw, obviously.
And it was so Negative good. Space is also extremely sweet.
Really?
Yeah, all of the other ones... This is the one category of the shorts where I watched all of them. And Dear Basketball was so much worse than all the other four.
It's called Dear Basketball?
Yeah, dude, that's his poem. It's called... This dude is 40 years old in the NBA, wheezing his way to the finish line, and just posts up, throws up a poem on Players Tribune called Dear Basketball. And it's the most cliche shit ever. Here, I'll read it for you, dude.
Oh my gosh, is it long?
Yeah.
Don't do it. I take your word for it.
I'll give you some excerpts. Dear Basketball by Kobe Bryant, the Players Tribune. Dear Basketball, and I will make sure that you understand the line breaks. Okay. Yeah. This is the first
it's blank verse. Yeah. ABBA structure. Yeah.
From the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. Are you kidding me? My God. Dude, that's what people on the internet who think they want to be a screenwriter throw up and, like, say it's great and shop it around, and people, like, don't have the heart to tell them it's terrible.
Right. Well,
that shit won an Oscar.
It's such a specific, like, writing a poem in a bad poem, like, that is a specific kind of, first of all, overwhelming confidence you must have.
Oh, I mean, yourself. Yeah.
To put a poem out there, like, I get a short story, you're trying to be a writer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A poem, mm-hmm. dude, with
this
just,
dude.
Which is, like, it sounds like, I mean, it's not. I don't mean to be so disparaging. I'll leave that to you. kind of like a high school, you know, poet. It's the kid who plays basketball in high school, and the teacher
but he loves basketball, but he's so bad that he's stuck on JV as a senior. it's something from that kid. This is another excerpt. As a six-year-old boy, deeply in love with you, I never saw the end of the tunnel. I only saw myself running out of one. Wow.
I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. And like, the whole, like, you know, he probably just learned about personifying inanimate objects. He's like, wait, it could be like it's a person? That's so beautiful. You know?
Yeah. Well, the worst part is Kobe is really smart. Like, right. He's really smart, but like,
right. Well, it's,
come on.
It's a funny thing because he's like obviously retired and he's a mogul with $1 million.
He's a venture capitalist, dude.
And yeah, so he's like starting businesses, like, yeah, you know, with no experience.
I bet his VC fund is sick.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, he's rubbing shoulders with...
He's got that Mamba mentality, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mentality you need to freaking write a poem in the first place.
All right, one more excerpt, oh, just for posterity.
Please.
And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go. I want you to know now, so we can both savor every moment we have left together. The good and the bad. We have given each other all that we have.
Yeah. It's so
Kobe,
because it would have been the most basic, like, not even saying anything kind of poem if it was about a woman,
just,
you know?
Nonsense.
But
nonsense,
because it's about basketball, it takes on a whole different man. That's funny.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah. Jesus, fucking Lakers
Oscar
fans.
Winner Kobe Bryant. Dude, I have so much fun with, like, like if Kong Skull Island did one, it'd be like Oscar winner Kong Skull
Island. Oh yeah, yeah.
And then like not Oscar winner Lady Bird. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, ridiculous.
Kobe has the same number of Oscars as Martin Scorsese.
Right, and he has more than Nolan, and you know, however many people combined, Peter O'Toole or whatever the
frick. PTA. Yeah, right. Oh my God! Yeah, Peter O'Toole doesn't have a single Oscar. Stanley Kubrick doesn't have an Oscar.
Right. So maybe we should just stop doing it.
Yeah, should burn them to the ground.
No,
dude.
But it is funny. Like, all that anger I've been not. I'm not angered. None of this matters.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
No, I'm not mad. You know, but all of the like takes I've had about like, you know, it's stupid. Now it's like come over me like, whenever I listen to Andy Greenwald, and company talk about award shows, they're like. They seem to have such a nice distance from them, as mm-hmm. in like,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That probably shouldn't have won, but that's a nice narrative, or you know, it's an interesting thing to talk about from pop culture or whatever. But it's like, yeah. It's not a thing you have to tie your happiness and your worth to because your movie didn't win. It's like they will never get it totally right. All you hope is that someone gets some kind of recognition that is deserved, which is what happened. Mm-hmm. Getting nominated is an honor. People seeing your movie is an honor. Blah blah blah. You know, but yeah. From now moving forward, I think I'm gonna have a lot easier time just being removed, and like, not really caring. You know,
mm-hmm.
like the Nerd Writer, who I watch on YouTube, and everyone else should check him out. He's a boss. Put out a video about why the Florida Project, my baby, should have been nominated, and like he opens and closes the video with like. Something along the lines of, it's a shame the Florida Project didn't get nominated, but you know, it's the Oscars. And like, that yeah. says everyone knows what you're talking about when you say that, because mm-hmm. we've all been wronged before, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it did spread the love this year. I just looked at the list, and 7 of the 9 Best Picture nominees won an Oscar in some category.
Interesting.
With the exceptions of Lady Bird and The Post.
Post was left out to dry.
But Lady Bird was up in just massive, massive categories, so it was gonna be tough.
I guess that's also part of the problem. Like there, as we both think it should have been nominated for editing, but mm-hmm. they're not gonna, you know, throw it up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a nice way to spend an evening, just remembering all the movies from last year. You know.
Yeah, that I think that's my favorite part. You just get reminded. Like, I was reminded by just how much I loved Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I really love all the montages they do.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, I am a sucker for those.
Yeah, like, that's just, like, the whole exercise, the only important thing about these is remembering why you love movies, being inspired to go make more movies, and all the advertising, all the speeches, you know, Samsung killed it this year with their ads. We're just like, you know, get out there and join us as creators. Greta was like, go make your movie. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
that's all the really cool messaging I like to take from it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But like, yeah, just remembering and all bringing the old people, sorry, classic actors back, you know, and just like, the reverence for everything, and like I really buy into that like whole, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, big fan. Yeah, so I think that's all. I'm gonna look through the list here one more time. Yeah, this all looks pretty good. That short film about the hearing impaired girl looked really sweet, and glad that one. Oh, Call Me by Your Name won screenplay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Which well deserved. I thought that was, and you know,
it was just a great slow burning script.
Right. Yeah, and I thumbed through the book in a Grand Central bookstore one time. So, it's weirdly not at all like, you know, writing style wise. Like, it's first person, and it's like
mm-hmm.
it's Timothy Chalamet's character just recounting everything. Like, it's a really different type of thing. So it was kind of like a hard.
That's a tough adaptation, yeah.
Yeah, and it feels so natural, and yeah, and he that man wrote Stuhlbarg's script at the end. Like, that was, you know, Yeah. And that guy had such a, obviously he's a master. I don't really know much what he's done, but he's been around for millions of years, I'm sure. That did not mean for that to sound savage like it did. he is the oldest winner in history, I think, or something like that.
I believe, but, so. The only reason he wasn't the oldest nominee is because of Agnes Varda.
Oh, okay. Plummer killing it, though, by the way. But the grasp of subtlety and just, like, being able to say so much without saying anything and, like, just, like, the understanding of humanity that is so prevalent in that movie that I really liked. There's a lot of the script, really. And that I finally put a face to the director. And
oh, you, like, didn't know what Luca Guadagnino looked like?
Yeah,
oh.
he just seems like a sweet dude. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just really... That movie is climbing up my rankings, dude. Like, it was just so in the sweet spot.
Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really adored it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy. You know, in the end, got a good spread, got reminded. Everyone knows all these movies that came out and how cool they are, you know. So, yeah. In summation, decent. Last year was a great year for movies, right?
Yeah, great year. Great year.
And yeah. All right, man. Well, 2018 coming at you. Let's dive in.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, are you good?
Yeah. I'm pretty good.
All right.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the Oscars. Thank you for being here with us and at all caring about what we thought. If you have any notes or questions or comments or constructive, you guys are wrong about this type feedback, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever you do. And yeah, catch you guys next week. We're back on a regular schedule, more or less.
Yep.
And we'll keep pumping these out for you as long as you keep listening.
Boom.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin.
All right. See you guys. I just want to see the light. All right, that is our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Just some plug time here. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Patreon at Four Thumbs Pod to continue the conversation or support if you're so inclined. Questions, comments, constructive criticism, all welcome. Our theme song is Light by San Holo. Our logo was found on Google Images. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and YouTube. And please share that iTunes link if you share it with anybody. Thank you so much to our lovely podcast hosts, Spreaker.com. Thanks to Bobby for being awesome as always. And join us very soon for another conversation. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.